This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
Da 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 da.
Doom, doom.
Da 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 da.
Da 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 da.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Doom, doom.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. Yes, we were doing the Addams Family theme there.
And we can tell you why later.
That's right. Anyway, welcome back to the last episode of the season of Revolutionizing Recovery. It has really been good, Lakrita. This whole season has just been so much fun.
It has, with the different people coming, kind of putting recovery in a whole new way, looking at things differently than just thinking recovery is about alcohol, drugs, it's about workaholics, it's about gambling, it's about just losing yourself into things that you just don't understand. And I believe from, we talk about the Addams Family, I believe we come from the first Addam, which they did what they want to do, say what they want to say, creepy crawlies, you know, blame, shame, you know, the first Addam, when he was caught with an instruction from God. And when instead of him just saying, I didn't obey you, I let the woman take of the apple or the fruit tree or the whatever tree or how many people we want to call it, whatever color you want to call it, the apple, the whatever. It was really about the deception of choice. And he could have just said, I did not choose what you asked me to do. But instead, he said, it's the woman you gave me. And then she said, it was a serpent.
Everybody
and guess what?
Game.
And the serpent said nothing. Because guess what?
He knew
who he was.
That's right.
And recovery is about learning who you really are and recovering back to that original state that you were created to be. So whatever that is, recovery is not about drugs and alcohol. It is about discovering one is not lost, but one has to remember the original state of being that they were created to be. That is what recovery is.
Recovering yourself.
Exactly. Back to your original state of being.
Yeah.
Whether it is peace, whether it is being centered, whether it is getting off of the first natural thing, which may be drugs or alcohol or gambling or workaholics, but getting back to that may be the natural. If I can see it, that is not the problem. It's the things I cannot see. That's why Adam and Eve went and put fig leaves, because they realized that they were naked. Now their nakedness became shame. See, but we are to be naked and unashamed, meaning constantly, authentically, real and open and not worrying about the pimple on my face, because it doesn't change the heart that I have.
Doesn't change me. It's not my identity.
It's not my identity.
Yeah.
The glasses I wear or the chipped teeth that I have or the clothes that I may not can afford, so I don't overreach myself. I am who I am from the inside out. And that is the meaning of recovery.
And that's really good.
Yeah, and just you know, there's three things I really want to talk about. Threes are really important to me. I don't know, on one of the podcasts I may have talked about the Tesla. And ever since then, I have seen a Tesla, a white Tesla, every day for the last, I want to say last 7 to 8 months anyway. For me, it represents purity. It represents, but when I went to the Tesla company, what I saw was a model, and all of them are Model 3s. And you can have a dual engine, or you can just have different levels of design, and those cars sell themselves. And I feel like recovering back to your original state should be a model that you would want for yourself. And I feel like three is significant to me, for because I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. I believe in the egg, the caterpillar, the cocoon, the butterfly. They're all, it's always one, but all those stages are in one thing. And so for me, I feel like recovery is learning how to unthaw. So the first 12 months, it goes back to what we were just on about patterns. You know, once you unlearn something, to try to go back to it, it really is difficult. And some days I was saying that I'm at a place where God has formed me, but there is unthawing. It takes about 12 months in the process for me. This is just Lucreta stuff. Somebody else can dispute it if they want. But what I've learned my first 3 years of the journey back to my original state, the first 12 months was me just unthawing, where I have frozen into fight or flight mode and survival thinking and this is the way it should be and not understanding options and not understanding choices. It was either or, black or white, was no gray, you know, and learning how to just unthaw. And when I unthawed, then I became liquid. I talked about in the last podcast, I liked water when I was younger. So to me, the liquid becomes fluent. It becomes liquid. It can kind of flow. So that I feel like I, you know, learning that in the next 12 months, that's my second year of, you know, really understanding about different levels of my life and to build a foundation. Because then the next 12 months for me was forming. What do I believe? Who do I want to be? Now that it's almost like detox myself from inappropriate behaviors and responses or reactions. Who am I going to, what is the image I'm going to form into? Who am I going to become? Because now if I'm liquid, right, just like ice, if I put it in a tray and put it in the freezer, it forms whatever shape I put it into. So I had to begin to ask, what do I want to look like? And because of my spiritual beliefs, he talks about created in his image and after his likeness. That's like forming. I wanted to be me, and I wanted to be the best version of me. So I had to regain who I originally was. So I had to become conscious of who my authentic self was. And when I look at scripture, you know, I think about being born again in my mind. I had to learn to take those thoughts away and to have a rebirth of perceptions and concepts and beliefs and ideas and all those things emotionally, spiritually, educationally, all the things naturally, relationally, stewardship, recreating my energy. I had to do all seven of those areas to regain my authentic self.
And it took time.
Yeah. I'm 29 years in the process. See, let me explain. It's not about drugs and alcohol in prison for me. It's about, am I going to allow life to inflict pain on myself or let other people do the same thing? Realizing my triggers, realizing my patterns, realizing, oh my God, if I stay on the phone with this person, I may say something that I regret later. So let me get off the phone and say, bye, so-and-so. Have a good day. And get myself centered again. Learning how to repossess myself. You know, recovery is about repossessing you, taking back, going after your own dominion, taking back your soul, taking back and having repossession of how you think and how you feel and how you act and what boundaries you draw and what wells are you going to draw from and what are the people you're going to be in relations to. It's all about repossession. Recovery is about retrieving to uncover that which is buried, things that were deep inside of you that you didn't even know existed because you buried them because you were frozen or because you hadn't unthawed yet, because you hadn't been liquefied enough to kind of stream and decide to be washed again and to be whole again or to look at it in a different way, to see it clearer, because unthawed means it's liquid. You can see through it as long as it's not muddy and dirty. You can kind of see where it is you want to go so you can form into a different position of mindset, person, identity, personality, you know, personality. It's like person reality. Who do you want to be in your reality as a person? I feel like you have to learn how to recapture That means to recognize what is present. I have to recapture things that I have forgotten, things that I didn't know. When I was learning how to go, when God took me back to that five-year-old little girl that realized her identity was different, it shattered my whole perspective about my identity. So I had to go back and recapture that little girl's hand. I had to take her hand into my big 32-year-old hand and lead her into becoming the 60-year-old woman I'm becoming now. I'm still recovering little pieces and recapturing real pieces of myself that was shattered all over the place. Recovery for me and for others, I hope, is learning to reclaim, to acknowledge your redemption has been paid for, that I don't have to sell my soul and my life because it's already been reclaimed. I'm not trying to reclaim it. It's already been reclaimed. So I just need to show up and say, this belongs to me, and I'm reclaiming it. I belong to me. There's parts of me that have been shattered all over the place, and now I want it back. And I have to do the work.
Reminds me of a puzzle.
Yeah.
If you take a puzzle that's, you know, it once it's put together, it's a beautiful picture. But if it's taken apart, it's all of these seemingly unconnected, unrelated things, pieces.
Exactly.
So once you start putting them in their proper place, then you start seeing the picture.
Exactly. And it's like anything R-E that has a R-E in front of it is a Latin word, but it all of it means back again. Re means back again, R-E. So recovery is back again. I'm coming back to myself again. So I can then become to look at the world. When we're in 2021, we just went through COVID. We don't know what the recovery of the after effects of COVID is going to be for people. We have been into a chaotic, it was like it was thrust up on us, whether it was the injustice of the, you know, George Floyd, we just got a verdict. You know what I'm saying? And the police, you know, the work has just begun. We have the first woman vice president. That is just the beginning of the work. Equality, the education systems. Again, I will say these things were not broken. They were built that way to keep some people in, bring some people in and keep some people out. We need to be willing to take this system and tear it down and rebuild it again, again. All of us, reborn, rethinking, rebuilding.
Re-educated.
Re-educate.
Yeah.
You know, reform justice. Everything needs to be again. That means just back again. We need to go back to go forward.
And be fearless to be able to look at something and say, maybe it wasn't right. And in that re-education or reform or whatever, maybe it wasn't right in the first place. You have to be willing to start there.
Exactly. Maybe the way that it is in the way that it should not have been.
Yeah.
But first you have to admit you were wrong.
Right.
That takes a lot of courage that most of us don't like to look at ourselves and say, if the listeners are listening, how many times and how difficult was it for you when you realized that you were wrong about something to go back and say to that person, I really don't like when people come to me and say something like, LaQuita, if I hurt you. No, you did hurt me. I told you hurt me.
Right.
So you should just say, LaQuita, forgive me for hurting you. I was wrong. That takes so much courage, but it also depletes your ego. That most of us don't like, which I call ego edging God out. You know what I mean? So we don't like to, because if I edge God out, I can be more like me and less like God. And the God I serve wants me to treat you the way I want to be treated, whether you ever treat me that way or not. I have to learn that that I am human. I make mistakes. And so I give myself empathy. So I'm going to give you empathy. I am peace. So if I give, I have to be mindful. If I am peace, then wherever I go, I take peace with me. I don't need to discover it. It is me. I am blessed. I am whole. I am these things. They're all in me. And wherever I go, they go with me. And we were talking about once you learn a new journey to a greater place inside yourself, there are times, I'm going to be honest, that I want to be crazy. And I cannot find the door to crazy. I'm serious. There are days where I'm looking for the door, and it's almost like the door has disappeared. And what I've come to the conclusion of is that I asked for the door to be removed. So why am I looking for it again? Just to justify my insane behaviors? No. I am peace. I am blessed. I am me. I am naked and unashamed. I am all that I am supposed to be. And everything that I did to become who I am, why would I want to go back? I'd rather stay still than to go back and try to ask myself, why are you trying to find that door? What is really happening in this moment?
I think it's the familiar, you
know.
Exactly. Because it is what you knew. And sometimes, I'm just going to admit this, sometimes working your healing, working through things, it's hard work.
No, it is hard work.
Right? And sometimes you don't want to have to do that. Like, you don't want to be the responsible one. You want to do the wrong things. I mean, and that's normal. So you want to go to the familiar. So I understand that.
But I do too. But let me show you what God has shown me in this journey of recovery. That I can make spaces to be spontaneous and risky as long as it brings no harm to anyone. And a lot of us don't know how to do that because we're such either or people. We can't be and in both.
Right. And we don't know how to be in the middle.
Exactly.
Right?
And like, you remember that show when it was called In the Middle? And what it was so neat when you look at Sue and you looked at the different children in the family, they all was in the middle. None of them was alike. And that's what the middle looks like, is that we're all diverse and we're all different, but we're all unique and we're all needed. To Amen. Connect to make the world better.
Amen.
I need you to make my world better. You need me to make your world better.
Absolutely.
We're all important. We're all necessary. And so recovery means that it's not just about me, but it's about me first, but then it's about other people. And that's what I feel like on this journey after 3 years of my own recovery, that the Lord gave me the vision to go back and to help other people. Little did I know helping them was helping me. Giving back to them saved me. So they were just as important to my, they are just as important to my recovery as they say I am to them.
Mm-hmm.
They hold me accountable. They create me to look at the ripple effect. If I make certain decisions, how it's going to affect the reputation of who they believe that the great I am is in me. Because I no longer belong just to me. I belong to everybody. And learning that there's no highs and lows, that we're all at the same level of humanity, trying to find ourselves again, trying to come into a place of peace. You know, everybody knows about my book, but I had to learn how to break the cycle of abusing myself. I'm still learning that, because that is the role, discovering the escape route to new choices. Stop hurting me. Because I can say there may have been 3 incidents in my life, but I hurt me a lot worse than anyone else did. And having to go be reprogrammed and born again in my mind and in my emotions and in my choices, that's hard work. You said it. One of the books I'm reading now, and it's a children's book, but it's I Am Human, the book of empathy. I Am Peace, the book of mindfulness. I am just become this avid reader and looking at people's stuff and seeing what's out there to see, to make sure. These are, to me, breadcrumbs that says you're on the right track, LaCrita. This is the direction. Keep going in it. One of the books that Gabbard made is In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts. It's all about addiction, looking at the pain. You know, that ghost is going to always be there. It's going to always be hungry. But if I don't feed it, it will starve. I can starve it to death so I can have life. It is my choice. We all know about Celebrate Recovery, which came out of Saddleback Church, which is, you know, John Baker, who has this big piece. But all of that, you know, is about you have to celebrate your being back to yourself again. That is the whole reason we do this podcast. It's because if we touch just one person, I don't need to touch the masses. If I just, my message or whatever God has done in my life gives one person insight or wisdom to apply what they hear me as saying or hear you saying or hear us saying, we've done our part. We've done our part. And that's it, learning how to be okay with the person you have become and the person you're becoming. That's what recovery is. That's what it means to recover. And that's what the meaning of recovery is. And that's why I wanted to revolutionize it, blow it up from what people perceived it to be, so they could see it differently and know that recovery is a lifetime journey. It's not something you, and if somebody ever tells you they have recovered, you run like Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run. That's what Jenny would say to Forrest, run. Because recovery is an evolving, progressive journey. I am learning things about myself at 60. I tell people that I am 30-30 because God came in. I discovered that I was in my own vomit at 32, but I feel like I'm about 40 in developmental. My developmental, emotional, even though chronologically I'm 60. Because I am making decisions that most 40-year-olds would make that I'm just now making at 60. But I got a good life. And I got a good God. Amen. And he knows how to recapture everything I thought I lost and give me double for my trouble.
He gives you back the years that the locust had eaten.
And the ones that I gave to the locust.
Yeah. Yep. He's all about redemption.
He's all about redemption.
And in so many areas. A lot of times when people say that word redemption, they think it's just reconciling us to God, when really it is reconciling us to ourselves.
Exactly.
And seeing who God meant us to be. And you've said that like over and over again, being what God really meant for you to be.
Exactly.
And being naked and unashamed. Shame. Yeah.
That is my thing. Naked and unashamed.
That's right. That's right.
And some people can, you know, I've been lately, people been saying to me, oh, you're so funny. You're so funny. I'm like, no. But I realized when my niece said it the other day, I said, you say that because I say things to you that you say to yourself, but you don't think nobody else hear you. She's like, that's probably, I said, most comedians, if you get up there and you're laughing, they're saying things you've thought about that you've not even told nobody about. You just thought them yourself.
Yeah.
I said, so when you say to me I'm funny, it's because I'm reading your book that you haven't even written yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm making you laugh because you realize what I'm saying you've already thought, though you never told nobody.
Yeah, you're bold enough to say it.
Exactly. So that almost feels comedic.
Yeah.
Because they say, like, you know, I've learned, I say laugh before you cry. You know what I mean? The truth hurts, but hey, it's worth it.
boy, in that, I mean, no pun intended, but that's very true. I mean, it is incredibly worth it to discover yourself, mm-hmm. to discover what you like,
I know.
To discover how you really feel about things, to just truly be yourself,
exactly.
not always trying to protect yourself, but just being who you are.
Just showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. Finding mm-hmm. out what those core things were that you believed about yourself that just wasn't true.
Mm-mm. It's like, that is not the truth.
No.
And I tell people all the time in this season, it's like, no, in this moment of my growth and development, I'm the inputter, not the outcomer. I had a situation I had to tell someone, I said, I know that I will grab for my natural propensity in my natural self if I'm not present. We talked about order. So if I'm not careful, order will go into control. So now when I hear something that speaks to me, I will lay it before God and say, like Gideon, prove it to me. Show me this is where you want me to go. And I am telling you, waiting on him right now in my life, it's been amazing how he shows it. But I got to be present enough to see the breadcrumbs he leads and leaves me, the pictures he gives me, the moments he said, and I realize they all add up to this one moment that he is saying, yes, I need you to go this way. That's been amazing to me, just to be still long enough to realize I don't have to react. I can respond. And respond means sometimes just being still and doing nothing until it's time to do the next thing. That's recovery.
It's so good. It's so good. It's been a great season. This has just been very, very insightful. I hope it has been for everybody out there. And we will put all of the books that we've discussed through this whole podcast in each episode. We're going to put those in the description, and you can go out to Amazon, what have you, to get those books. And also to get Lakrita's book.
Exactly. Buy my book.
That's right. It's available in both ebook and print on Amazon. And if you're local to the Cincinnati area, I think I say this every time we talk about your book, but you can go to Joseph Beth to get the book there. That's the only local bookstore that is carrying your book. So go out there, go to Bronte's, hang out. I love that place.
I know, it's my fave.
Oh my gosh, the smell of books. If you are a reader like I am, the smell of books. So good, so good.
And you're a writer, so that makes you love books as
well. Right, right, right. I've seen so many book signings there.
Well, we're looking forward to our next episode, which is going to be, we're looking at Unlocking the Incarcerated Mind as being our next episode.
That's right, because
I have a new book coming out called Unlocking the Incarcerated Mind.
And it's going to be really great, folks. It's got a workbook aspect to it. It's a devotional. You'll be able to really like dig in there each month, each week, learn meanings to new words and do a little drawing, just all kinds of fun stuff. So it's coming. But yeah, that will be season four.
Can you believe it? I cannot. I remember when you twisted my arm to do it. I didn't even want to do this. Yes. Felt like too much work when I was raising almost $6 million for a new program, for a new housing.
That's
and God
right.
has blessed me with that already. I'm in the design. I done went through the zoning. I done went through the neighborhood complaining, that them trying to gentrify us, all of that. So, yeah, it's like God is so faithful to complete the work he started in
us. That's right.
To the day of Jesus Christ. He is faithful to do it.
Amen. Amen. I love it. So, shall we sing it out? Da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da. Da 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 da.
See ya.
The Addams Family. Don't be the first Adam, be the second.
Amen. That's right. Bye.
Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lakrita's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924. Providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by LaCrita Bowman.